Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Money and Change on the Trim Radio Network. And we are live. And I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of stuff going on. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, things are just moving right along money-wise. And I hear a lot of stuff on the internet about people making claims about different things, and I'm not seeing any real facts about it. So, you know, like I always say in the introduction, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, because what may be news today may not be news tomorrow. You never know. But anyhow, welcome to Money and Change. And we're here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. live, unless I have to play a concert. I don't have any concerts until Christmas. Yes, that's a good thing. Anyhow, I really appreciate everybody coming in and checking in on us, because a lot of stuff is going on. We've got some videos for you today, all different types of contacts and information, everything else. And hopefully I don't get tongue-tied over everything, because we have a lot of stuff to cover. But before we do, you know, I always have to give a big shout-out for the Trim Radio Network. Why? Because it's a really cool group of people. And here you can see our flagship shows. We've got our Offsides college football season premiere. Oh yeah, they had a really good show the other night. And we've got My World Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday at 8 p.m. And we can talk about anything we want to, and we can also have some comedy. And there's nothing like having comedy on a crazy Wednesday night. So you bring your own snacks and your own favorite beverage. Sit back in your easy chair and just unwind, okay? Tell your friends about us, too. Also, we've got Money and Change every Sunday, and we talk about different things with finance. And it's not really a dull subject, because we talk about a lot of things on how to save money, trends in what's going on in the world of spending money, saving money, things like that. We also have other shows, and of course, follow the magic boxes here. We've got Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas. Of course, I talked about My World and Money and Change. We've got Victoria Smith with the Natural Marketer Podcast. So if your business or club or whatever, and you want to do some marketing, check with Victoria on her podcast. Okay, that's every Thursday. Okay, so you have to check on that. Of course, we talked about Offsides college football. Also, we have the Positude Podcast, 8 p.m. on Fridays. And then Adventure Waits Around the Bend. And it's also a podcast. It's Saturday at 1 p.m. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, 1:30 Saturdays. And we have the Red Pill Reality Show with Rascal and Stefan. And I'll tell you what, you have to check him out. I listened to part of his show Saturday, and it goes from, I believe, 9 o'clock until midnight. I don't think I can do a 3-hour shift, but he does. And he has some very good topics, and he has some guests on from time to time. Check him out Saturday at 9 p.m., the Red Pill Reality Show. And I always tell him, hey, you always say you can either take the red pill or the blue pill. I want the green pill. Just my luck, he combines maybe blue with yellow, and I get green. or he gives me a kidney tracer. I don't know. But anyhow, check him out. We've got three other slots here that are available. If you want to do your own show, all you have to do is click on this little red button over here on the right-hand side. You do that, and this comes up. It says, how can I help you today? And all you have to do is put your name in, your phone number, your message. Hey, I want to do my own show. Show me how to do it. And here's my cell phone number to contact me and my email address. And all you have to do is send the message and somebody will be right back with you. Okay? That's all you have to do. If I can press the buttons, you can press the buttons. It's very easy to do. You just have to remember to press the buttons. Okay, so we've got that going on with the shows. Oh, the creators. Oh, yeah. Well, let's see here. Do we have the creators? I think. No, it's in the company section. I'm getting messed up here tonight. Yeah, we have our own creator section. And if you take a look, and that's not the page. What is going on tonight? Oh, if it isn't one thing, it's in, there's the company, and here's the leadership. Come on, you can do it. There we go. Things are getting touchy. I don't know about the internet anymore. I'm thinking of changing providers. Somehow I'm being charged something close to $310 a month. I need to save some money. I don't know about you, but $310 a month for internet, phone, and cable that you don't really watch, that gets a little bit demanding on the wallet. Well, anyhow, here we are. We've got our Michael Bejas, the founder and CEO, all-around good guy. Rascal Stefan, he's an excellent guy, chief operating officer, and I'll tell you what, he is a computer whiz. He really is. And then, of course, I don't know who this guy is, Stu Shear. I don't have any idea. The chief relationship officer, whatever that is, I guess I'm responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. Well, we want you to join us. If you want to do your own show, let us know. And we'll work it out with you, okay? We'll give you some airtime. Also, we have Victoria Smith, the Chief Marketing Officer, and she's responsible for all marketing activities and brand development and so forth. Excellent person. I've talked to Victoria. Matter of fact, I notified her before the show. And I said, hey, I'm doing a live show. I should have said in parentheses, like always, but you know, I notified her, and if I have to do a rerun, then I notify Victoria, and then we will do an encore edition, and that's what I call a rerun. Sometimes you have mechanical problems, video problems, whatever problems, and you have to do a rerun or an encore edition, and I got that from Rush Limbaugh. He said an encore edition. And I always thought that's better than rerun, okay? Well, anyhow, that's what we've got. Now, if you want to help keep us on the air, go to Collectibles and click on Shop. And the magic squares will come up eventually. There they are. Things are running slow tonight. I can't figure out why. You can get T-shirts, hats, the Money and Change T-shirt, the mug, the travel mug, and a ceramic mug. We've got T-shirts, polo shirts. We've got offside shirts. We've got offsides cups on page 2. What else do we have? Morphing mugs and hats, little danglies, wool caps for wintertime, and we've got Creator Studio rubber case for AirPods. Gee, I don't have any AirPods. That's amazing. I really don't. I have some other stuff that if I put it on, it reacts to the bones in your head. I mean, speaking of boneheads, yeah. I'll tell you what, that device that I've got, I might show that Wednesday. So tune in Wednesday and I'll show you my little gizmo. So support us by donating, because airtime ain't cheap. Airtime is very expensive to do the show. And, you know, you take a look at the Trim Radio Network. We cover the world. We're on the World Wide Web. So people in, I have listeners in Myanmar, which used to be called Burma. I've got them in India. I've got them in South Africa. I've got them in Kenya. I've got them in the United States. I've got them in Canada. The only place I don't have anybody is Iceland. I don't know why, but you know, hey, we'll work on that. So that's the Money and Change and everything else concerning Trim Radio Network. We basically give you the truth. We don't give you the bull. Okay, we cut the bull and give you the truth. That's the motto of the whole thing. So check us out. Now, a couple little things to plug. And I'll tell you what, we've got our Facebook page too, the Money and Change Financially Prepped Facebook page. If you take a look at us on Facebook, you go down to our thing for tonight. It says, join me tonight at 7 for a live edition of Money and Change. And the stories covered will be listed in the comment section below, and a replay will be posted on YouTube and Rumble. Let's get ready to rumble. If you click on the comment section, you'll see, hey, there's the shows and things that we're going to cover. Gold's Gamma Squeeze is on. You'll have to check on that because I won't be covering that tonight specifically. So you may have to check the articles in Zero Hedge. Also, we've got cost of living is the biggest challenge America face. I know what it is. It's a challenge, all right. Summer COVID wave prompts panic in California. Masks recommended. I think they don't get the point. Masks really don't work. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Then the states that have the most billionaires, they don't live in my town, trust me. The judge orders Trump administration to release billions in frozen foreign aid funding. And then AI isn't free. The first costs are on your bill and more coming. Oh yeah, I got a story about that. The Powerball, we're going to talk a little bit about the Powerball. We're going to talk movies about finance with homes, the Gen Zers, everything else. Oh, yeah, a new video from the University of Finley. So that's there. Okay, so check it out. Right there on our Money and Change / Financially Prepped page. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, David Gilmore and the GMRS radios. And people say, oh, you plug those all the time. There are a lot of people that are interested in GMRS radios. It's a $35 license, good for 10 years. Anybody in the family can use it. You just have to follow the rules. And I'll tell you what, in an emergency, when the power's out and when the phones don't work and there's no TV and you have these, you can communicate with your family, okay? And if your friends have them too, you can form your own little net group. And this radio is an Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna for GMRS. And I'll tell you what, this isn't the bubble wrap type that you get at Costco and Wally World, better known as Walmart. This one is expensive, and it is considered the Cadillac of the GMRS radios. I was watching a bunch of stuff on that. And I'll tell you what, I've got repeaters and I can talk to, from my house to Dayton, Ohio, 35 miles away to a repeater and get out 90 miles beyond that, maybe a little bit longer. So they're good to have. And you meet a lot of good people, trust me. So it's GMRS radios. You can get them at buy2wayradios.com and Better Safe Radios and a few others. And you get the good ones, they're worth it, okay? What we covered here? Oh, yeah, Colby. You know, I told you last week about Colby, and he has his own thing called the Max. And he came up with one. Doctor issues grave warning for America. It might be too late. Millions could be impacted. Check that one out. He makes sense in that one. It always makes sense. Also here, Radio for Preparedness 101 GMRS. Check that YouTube out. Check it out. Then also, we've got Secret Radio Plan when SHTF, you know, when the hooey hits the fan. That's because I can't say the other word. Michael will get me for that one. Also, pay off your car faster. There are ways to do that. And of course, after the show, I go to YouTube, and as soon as it's posted on YouTube, I will post this show on Facebook, on the Facebook page. So you can always check the show and see what information we've done. Okay? Well, let's get into it. Hey, Powerball. Did you play the Powerball? I did that a couple times. I never hit. I don't know about you, but I mean, the odds are really against us. But two people hit the Powerball. And that means that they're probably going to share $1.8 billion. What would you do with all of that money? And somebody was saying, well, if you got it, if one person just got it, you would end up with about $600,000 because the rest of it would be in tax. Seems like to me, if you win the Powerball, they ought to just say, okay, we'll take 10% of it for tax. But no, they take a little bit more than that. But, you know, people go in and they go to buy gasoline and they're selling them there. They go to a 7-Eleven or wherever, and they're selling them there. And I listened to a report on TV the other night, and they said, you know, we sell a little bit, but then as the numbers go up and the Powerball is more worthy of our attention, you know, get more money in there that they're going to pay out, people come in and they spend a heck of a lot of money. Well, what happens if they don't have the money to spend to feed the kids and they're gambling? That doesn't work, does it? Not a very good deal. But that's the Powerball. And there was an article, and you can read it on our Facebook page. But it says, after 41 drawings with no jackpot winner, the Powerball's big prize stands at $1.8 billion, the second largest in the lottery history. And the drawing was Saturday. Yeah. The odds of winning a lottery jackpot are slim. One in 292.2 million for Powerball. Well, two people won it. So you can check this article out. Just gamble responsibly. Okay, buy a number here and there if you want. Or put it to good use and get something else like food. Invest it. I don't care what you do with your money, but that's one thing. Chances of winning Powerball, not very good. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, summer COVID wave prompts panic in California. Masks recommended. Oh, boy. You know, I talked to some nurses and they said, you know, masks really don't work. If you have a cough or something like that, yeah, you could wear a mask and it keeps the bugs from leaving. But basically, the masks are porous. It helps shield from stuff coming towards you, but that's about it. And I said, I don't wear masks. At the beginning, you know, they always pushed them and I never did after a while. I said, forget it. Because you're rebreathing all the junk that you're spewing out, according to some people. So masks don't work, in my opinion. Probably your opinion too, but it says at least one official in California has recommended the residents wear masks indoors due to an increase in COVID-19 in recent days. Gee, COVID-19, that's the flu. I didn't think you could get flu during the summer. Well, anyhow, wastewater data released by the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention on Thursday showed that California is seeing very high levels of the virus, while all states on the West Coast are either at high or very high levels. I wonder why. People sneaking across the border, maybe? They don't have their shots. They're not washing their hands. Poor sanitation practices. A lot of things to consider there. So anyhow, the article goes on and says, California is experiencing a summer COVID wave, according to Amy Sisson. And that's the YOLO County Health Officer. And based on current wastewater levels of the virus that causes COVID-19, I recommend that everybody in the West Sacramento area wear a mask when they are around others indoors, public places. Don't wear a mask in a bank. Okay, that's a bad thing to do. But anyhow, you know, it's up to you if you want to wear a mask, fine. But, you know, do masks really work? They didn't for COVID, and they probably won't work now. But anyhow, you can check that article out. Wow, cost of living is the biggest challenge Americans face. You aren't kidding. The cost of living. And it keeps getting higher and higher and higher. A friend of mine had to have a special leg brace because of a knee operation. And it was a replacement. And they wanted her to rent a special brace for a couple of months. And I said, okay, how much is it? And they said, well, it's $175 a month. Okay, so they showed the brace and how it worked and everything. And I said, can you buy them on Amazon? Because they sell stuff like that there. And she said, no. I said, well, then how much does this cost? And she said, $3,000 for two pieces of adjustable aluminum with a special hinge and Velcro fasteners. Something's not right there. So anyhow, I guess she's running it for $175 a month. And hopefully she doesn't have to wear it more than 2 months. But anyhow, cost of living's going up. I know it. You know it. We go to buy our food, whether you go to Kroger's, the Wally World, Costco, wherever. Food prices are going up. The good thing is during the summer, you can plant your own garden. And hopefully your garden's growing, but mine isn't. The only thing that thrives in my garden happens to be zucchini. And I get zucchini that are about 2.5 feet long, and they weigh about 5 or 6 pounds by the time I get done to harvest. That's about it. Tomatoes didn't do anything this year, but I hope your garden is. People are starting to grow their own food. Why? Because it's cheaper in the long run instead of going to the store and buying things. Well, anyhow, in Zero Hedge, it said, while inflation has long come down from the 2021-22 highs, when it peaked at 9%, it's still slightly elevated at 2.7%. More importantly, though, people are still struggling to cope with the lasting effects of the inflation crisis. I think some of these statistics that they gave for inflation over the past, I'm going to say 3 years or 4 years, were rigged. I don't think they were exact. And some reports are coming out that they weren't exact. So maybe we had maybe 20% inflation, 25% inflation, who knows? When the real numbers come out, we'll probably all be shocked about it because things are expensive. I mean, even the cost of gasoline went up. The cost of food went up. A lot of other things went up too, especially when you start talking homes. What used to be at $150,000 for a nice ranch-style house is now $250,000. Why? Because the dollar isn't worth anything. How did we get there? Inflation. How did inflation begin? Government overspending. They print money that they don't have. It's not gold-backed, and hopefully we can get back to that. But the cost of living is the biggest challenges that Americans face. You look at the cost of living, 49.1%. 49.1, according to Statista. Physical health, people are saying it's 26.3%. Marital health is 26.0%. work-life balance is 25.8%. Political and social issues, that they're saying as far as importance is 22.7%. Age-related concerns, 16.7%. Housing, 16.6%. Career dissatisfaction or uncertainty is 16.2%. Hey, artificial intelligence. Gen Zers are probably going to go nuts because they don't know whether or not they'll have a job due to artificial intelligence. Now, maybe artificial intelligence might be great in Washington, D.C., because there's no intelligence there. We know that. But AI can take your job. And that's something to be concerning. And is AI always correct? We don't know yet. But a lot of people are worried about that cost of living. That's 49.1%. Why? Because they go to Walmart and they go to buy their groceries and they pull out a credit card and they go to use that credit card. And personally, I watched a lady with this big cart of food. I mean, it was overflowing. And the poor cashier, who's probably been retired, I don't know, 15, 20 years, and he's fumbling with everything. And she gets done, her bill is like $250 for food. She pulls out a plastic card, puts it in the machine, and it validates it, and that's it. She goes home, hopefully she paid it off. Because if you don't, and you're just paying off the minimum and not the principal, you're in trouble. And I think a lot of people are getting in trouble. So how do you fight the cost of living? Live beneath your means, according to Amber Stork, the Prepper Princess. You don't have to put up with Netflix all the time. You don't have to buy a new car every 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. You learn to make do. And that's how she became a millionaire. Check her out. Amber Stork on YouTube. Called the Prepper Princess. Okay, the next thing we've got, the cost of the American dream. I kind of call it the American nightmare. So let's see what they have to say.
In 2025, cost a whopping $5 million. This is $600,000 more than it did last year, according to an Investopedia study that estimates the lifetime cost of eight major life categories commonly associated with achieving the American dream. This includes retirement, home ownership, and healthcare, among other categories. Joining me now, I got Caleb Silver, editor-in-chief at Investopedia. Caleb, always great to see you. So the American dream is going to cost $5 million. Let's start there. How do we define the American dream? Walk us through it. Walk us through the criteria.
Yeah, great question. And everybody's dream actually has a different price tag. Yours is different than mine. But we looked at what people want, the wants, not the needs. And we actually surveyed our readers and beyond to find out, what are the essentials for you that would make you consider yourself financially stable, that you've finally made enough to be able to make those types of decisions? And you mentioned a lot of them. We're talking about retirement, healthcare, owning a home, potentially having two kids, sending them to college, having a new car every 10 years, having a pet. Pets get very expensive, my friend, marrying somebody off. So looking at an annual vacation, all these things priced in today's dollars, these things add up to about $5 million plus. The thing is, as you know, if you make the median income throughout your whole working life, 25 to 65, you get to around $2.3, $2.4 million, depending. There's that gap there. Again, everybody's price tag is different, but these are the things that most people associate with. If I've done the work, if I worked hard, if I've saved, this is what I should be able to have. Again, the wants, not the needs.
Pets are expensive, by the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, my vet took a few teeth out of my dog. I know she had teeth. Thousands. Thousands, Caleb. $5 million. How does that compare versus last year? It went up $600,000?
Yeah, but we also added a little bit more around healthcare, because we took healthcare at a base level in our initial surveys in the last couple of years. But we know that people, by asking them through the survey, are thinking about premium healthcare, healthcare in case something happened beyond the very basic. So that's very important to American families. And they said as much, and that is about $414,000 over a lifetime. Again, these are lifetime costs, adult lifetime costs. You look at retirement, $1.6 million. That would give you around $67,000 to $68,000 a year for 20 years after the retirement age of 65. Again, for some people, not nearly enough. For some people, too much. But it all depends on what it costs to be the you that you want to be in. That's how he boiled this down.
The $5 million, how does that compare to sort of the lifetime earnings of most Americans?
Yeah, it's about $2 to $3 million higher than most people are going to earn, which is why we need to invest. How do you fill the gap? You fill the gap through investing, through saving, through owning assets. And if you're not investing or you don't have asset ownership, it's very hard to cross that threshold into the feeling wealthy, that sense of I can make decisions based on what I need to do for what's best for my family without worrying too much about money.
Oh, yeah. What else is going on?
Douglas Holtz-Aiken, American Action Forum president and former director of the Congressional Budget Office, and Terry Haynes, Pangea Policy founder. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Doug, let's start with you. We were just talking about the prospects of a government shutdown here. We have this conversation on the regular, obviously. What are the prospects this time, and sort of how do you see it playing out in terms of how long it could last, what the crux of the argument's going to be over, et cetera?
Well, I think there's a serious chance of a shutdown. And the reason is that, A, the House and the Senate are way behind schedule. So there's very little time. They're going to have to come to some sort of deal to get a short-term extension of continuing funding or something. The key to a deal usually is to have the White House brokering that deal. And it doesn't appear to me, my eye, that the White House cares a lot about avoiding a shutdown. Number one, they did cancel the $5 billion in foreign aid, the so-called pocket rescission, which many lawmakers feel is, if not an affront to their prerogatives, illegal. And so that's stirred the waters. Had they been worried about getting a deal, they wouldn't have done that. They also called recently for a, quote, clean CR, just extending what we have. That's unpalatable to the Senate Republicans in particular, which continue essentially levels of funding dictated by President Biden. And so the White House is not doing anything, on the surface at least, to get a deal between the House and the Senate. And they're pretty far apart in their funding levels and composition. So I think we could get a shutdown. Now, what are the stakes there? Well, number one, we've seen in the past that the economics are not dramatic. There's usually a shift of some economic activity until after the government restarts. It usually lasts, say, a week or something like that. And I think that's probably what we're looking at. The bigger stakes are who gets the blame and what does that do to the midterms? Because that would affect the composition of the political power and the ability to check the White House. And that's really what this is going to be about.
Terry, I want to get your take on that last part. Well, first of all, tell us whether you think there's going to be a shutdown. I think you do. And secondly, who is going to get blamed? And does it matter? And if the White House is not sort of, throwing its weight around, as we have seen it is more than willing to do, does that mean it's taking that gamble that the American public is not going to blame President Trump if a shutdown happens?
Well, good morning to you both. A couple of things. One is, Doug laid the kind of the basics out very, very well in terms of what's about to happen. I'm the guilty party in saying that I think a shutdown is almost certain. I think the reason why is pretty simple. Democrats feel politically that they have to make some huge political show of Trump resistance, and they really couldn't do that during the One Big Beautiful Bill because of the way that the bill goes through Congress, but they can do that now, so they will, and they'll try to maximize. The president's inclined, as Doug says, to want to take up that fight, not only because he wants to have as much political power as possible to cut things, but also because he wants to show markets that he's the one that's interested in debt and deficit responsibility, and the Democrats aren't, which helps him politically as well as substantively. And I saw a lot of reporting this morning about bond markets squirrely about whether or not tariffs are going to remain intact or not. Well, I think tariffs almost certainly remain. So I don't think bond markets have to worry about that. But bond markets are going to get spooked by shutdowns and continued wrangling over spending, unlike in many past years, precisely because they've been so jittery about the large debt and deficit. You take that with the backdrop of what's going on in Britain and France today, it becomes even more acute.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When you take a look about a lot of different things here, one time my dad knew a guy that was a writer for Wernher von Braun, the German rocket scientist. And von Braun was in the United States, and he was down at Huntsville, Alabama. And somehow my dad knew this guy, and he went down to visit him. And he was going to take him on the base. And he had a 24/7 pass because he worked for one of the, you know, the bigwigs on the base. And so they went one morning, and they go to the base, and there's a guard and says, well, the base is closed. And he said, well, I have a pass to go through. He says, no, it's all closed. Everybody's home. They left. And he says, what do you mean? He says, they ran out of funding, so everything had to shut down. And so then they toured Huntsville, and that was it. So the government shuts down. Now, what happens, though? The employees eventually get paid. So here they are taking a vacation. And when they come back with the shutdown, when it's reopened, they get paid. Is anybody really hurt? Just somebody gets a vacation. That's about it. Politics is strange. It really is. And when you run out of money, you run out of money. And having worked for the state of Ohio, we never shut down, but we had to watch our budget. I mean, we were responsible for up to 0.1%. And that's where we had to be. We couldn't be over it. We could be under, but not over. If you were over on that budget, oh, the stuff would hit the fan, if you know what I mean. Well, what else is going on here? A lot more. And you didn't think I would talk about the University of Finley? Well, here's the latest one about Colin Batten. Okay, check him out.
I chose the University of Finley and also the College of Pharmacy here because I would say that from the first days in the camps here, that really helped me decide that I wanted to see my major all the way to even registration days and now the first days of classes. You can really see how much care each of the people at the university are putting into each student and how much they care for the success of each of us, from our professors all the way to the top of the university and those in leadership positions throughout the colleges and the university. It's also nice to be able to just have classmates who really care for you and are there to help, you know, study and find groups. And especially because we are all freshmen and very few of us have people here that we're coming to campus with, it's nice to know that people here are going to be really receptive to you. And it's really nice to be able to find people that have the same interests as you. Wherever I go, there's going to be a spot for me to study. There's going to be a spot for me to set down my things and just have time to myself. But then there's also going to be ample time to be able to talk to my classmates and talk to my friends. And that's been a really nice aspect here at the university. As I started my college career, I would say that I am definitely even more excited to be here at the university. And I'm really excited to be choosing pharmacy. And I'm really excited for these next 6 years to happen and to hopefully graduate in 2031.
Yeah. Hey, something about Rusty Duck's custom pens and blanks, too. I thought I had them on here. I did. And things changed. Well, my goodness. Well, anyhow, guys, Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks, if your sorority, fraternity need to have pens made or other little things, contact Phil over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks, please, because he does an excellent job. Michael Bejas and I both have pens from Phil over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. And we had to buy them from Phil. We didn't get anything free either. So, you know, you want to check him out. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, he's on Facebook, by the way. Check him out there. I've got other stuff going on, too. Besides just Phil and Rusty Ducks and Ohio University was up there. Right there. And they beat West Virginia University. That was something else. Or University of West Virginia. So they've got a fairly decent football team this year. What about home buyers? Yeah, what about home buyers?
sold feet at record rates in this country right now. Redfin is reporting 58,000 home purchase agreements were canceled in July. That's more than 15% of all homes under contract. Let's bring in Katrina Campins, host of Mansion Global on Fox Business. Why are so many buyers getting cold feet? Katrina, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sandra. So for the first time in nearly four decades, a majority of Americans believe the American dream is simply slipping out of reach. Hard work no longer seems to pay off the way it once did. And it's more than just inflation or wages. People are losing faith in the core idea that tomorrow will be better than today. What's striking to me is how widespread this sentiment has become across age, income, and education. And at the heart is housing. More than any other factor, Americans say the dream of homeownership now feels unattainable. The housing market is under serious strain. Record cancellations, as you mentioned, Sandra, families priced out, and affordability at crisis levels. The number of home buyers backing out has reached record levels because once they start to add everything up, mortgages, insurance, property taxes, repairs, it's a harsh reality check. Expenses have climbed across the board and many can't keep the pace. They can't keep up with the pace. Wages haven't kept up at that same pace as prices have. And buyers now have more options on the market. Let's also remember that in certain markets like Florida and Texas, they have more options than previous years, giving them greater leverage and allowing them to take their time. Many are also walking away during the inspection period, either because they find a more appealing property or because they uncover issues that they'd rather not deal with.
So there's a lot at play. And we do have to understand that while inflation has slowed in recent months, the prices that were run up in recent years have not yet been able to come down much. Some energy prices and others have. But they're still not down to where they were just a few years ago. So people are still paying high prices for groceries and in some cases, energy and utility bills. Okay, so this is a TikToker, Freddie Smith, on the struggles that millennials are feeling, those that would be in that home buying market. Listen.
The reason they can't afford homes is because homes in the past 5 years went from 250,000 to 420,000. In 2019, you only needed $50,000 in salary to qualify. Now, in most cases, you need $120,000.
Okay, so there's a lot that's changed here. And we have not seen interest rates come down. We've heard the president urging the Federal Reserve chair, it's been a thing, bring those interest rates down. He believes that that would increase the affordability for so many out there. But I'll put this to you, because the economic picture is still pretty strong in the country right now. So are the fears out there, those that are walking away from these purchase contracts, are the fears warranted from your view?
Well, I think unlike 2008, which many people are comparing it to 2008, this is not about toxic lending or bank failures. This is about affordability. And while different, it's still incredibly painful as we continue to hear from the American people. Families are spending a larger share of income on housing than ever before, and it's bleeding into every other area of life. People are even delaying marriage, children, because of the cost of housing, and raising a family feels out of reach. Family formation is down, not because Americans don't want families necessarily, but because they simply can't afford them. I've heard so many stories of people putting off having more children because of the cost of living. Then you add property taxes, which is something that I firmly believe needs to be removed, at least for primary residences. Even retirees who've paid off their homes feel like they're renting from the government since taxes rise with values. You know, and so I think that, Sandra, together with capital gains, people will argue with me about this, but I think capital gains taxes are also freeing the market. I've had people tell me, Katrina, when I die, my kids can sell the house because I'm not paying that tax. So that's real life evidence of how the system discourages movement in the market.
But then they don't sell because they've got to pay those taxes, right? And by the way, obviously, real estate is so local, right? So people keep asking, you know, where is this happening the most? And it appears that the home purchases most likely to fall through right now, it's happening in Texas and Florida, with San Antonio and Fort Lauderdale seeing some of the biggest problems with that. Katrina, we'll have you back. Thanks so much.
Yeah, prices are going up. I know a house next to the one that I own happened to be going for $350,000. And they bought it years ago, a lot cheaper. It's the value of the dollar is down, and that's why the prices are going up. Oh, yeah. Hey, artificial intelligence isn't free. The first costs are on your bill and more are coming. This is done by Kay Rubasek from the Epoch Times. And she says the United States is in a race to achieve global dominance in artificial intelligence. Whoever has the largest AI wins. And you take a look at the amount of electricity, the energy that has to be created for that. I know in the town where I live, they just purchased over 1,000 acres to put in an artificial intelligence company. Why? Because they have the water from a nearby Great Miami River to cool the electronics, and they have power. But what's happening? The rates are going up. AES, which doesn't supply my town for the most part, they have antiquated equipment and they want to put in up-to-date stuff. And I'll tell you what, they want to raise their rates 25%. And where I live, our rates right now for residential is about 13.1% or cents per dollar. And then the industrial is 11 cents per dollar. And the regular commercial businesses are 12 cents per dollar. It all averages out to basically 12.1 cents for a kilowatt hour. And the rates are going up. Everybody's raising their rates. It's going to be very expensive. And I don't know about going off grid. I mean, I've got solar panels, but I only put those out in an emergency. I don't want to have them on the house because you have to put that electricity that's over usage back into the system. And I'd rather not be able to do that. So anyhow, AI isn't free. It's going to cost us all, no matter how you look into it. And is AI really worth it? Something to consider. Check out the article in Zero Hedge. Wow, what else? Oh, Gen Z savings. Trends that really work. Envelope budgeting. The envelope budgeting strategy is a cash-based system where you divide your income into different envelopes. Each one's labeled for a specific thing. You can check this out on our website because it's there. It's been around. Dave Ramsey did the envelope budgeting system. And, you know, you can call it cash stuffing, however you want to do it. The second thing is learning or leaning into automation and AI. You know, when you go to grow your savings, check out the best rates you can from the different banks around, the different savings and loans, the different credit unions. I'm in the process for that. I mean, I'm looking to save money. And if I put money into a bank and they say, well, we're only going to give you 1.8%, and I find somebody that gives me, let's say, 3% or 5%, I'm moving it there. And maybe I can get 5% for a year, and maybe they might change the rates, whatever. If you have certificates of deposits, CDs, always check the rates. And if they say, well, we're not doing anything, and your CD has come due, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to start looking because I have a week to do it to determine which bank has the better rate. If not, I just leave it in the bank that I've got. Unless their rate is very bad, okay? Gamified savings and spending challenges. You know, gamify your savings can motivate you to stay the course even when you're making sacrifices or difficult choices. Make sure you have a good bank, okay? Make sure you know your banker, okay? Loud budgeting. Gen Z is known for being vocal and setting clear boundaries. So that's loud budgeting. The financial strategy centers around setting boundaries with friends and family and learning to be comfortable saying no. A lot of people don't say no anymore. gee, I've said no before. And I've said, forget it. I've talked to banks. And they started giving me a spiel. And I say, no, forget it. I'm not going to do it. Oh, why not? Because I said no. That's the way they handle it. Be courteous. But if they really press the point, you said, I said no, and I mean no. Bye. And hang up. Maybe they'll come back with a better deal. Secondhand shopping. Yeah, you can find a lot of stuff at thrift stores. Down in Houston, Texas, I knew people that lived down there, and they would go to a thrift store, and they found very expensive clothes. It was in a suburb of Houston, Texas. And it turned out that the people that lived in that suburb, better known as River Oaks, were very wealthy, and they sent everything to a Goodwill store or thrift store. And they had some really good bargains. Really good bargains. Starting the side hustle, getting a job on the side, selling something on the side, doing something on the side. I know a lady that liked to paint, and now she's painting homes and houses and apartments. And with another lady making money on the side, does an excellent job. So, you know, you want to check them out. But this article was on Zero Hedge, I think. No, it wasn't. It was in Yahoo Finance. So you want to check it out, okay? What else is going on? Gen Z workers. Listen to this one.
And how does expectations and confidence change depending on the sectors? What jobs these are focused on?
Well, perhaps no surprise, we've seen that white-collar industries have seen more of a decline in employee confidence in recent months. And that's really, again, not a surprise given all of the headlines about layoffs in these industries and, again, the sluggish hiring that's going on. I think sluggish hiring is something that maybe doesn't get quite as much attention as a layoff might in the news, but that really has a very broad-based impact. It means that folks can't get onto the career ladder in the first place, and it also means that workers who are employed can't make progress up the career ladder.
How much does that have to do with artificial intelligence, especially within those white-collar jobs?
Well, it's interesting because when you look at the tech sector, you don't really see the benefits of AI and data center investment showing up in how tech workers feel. Tech employment is still pretty flat over the last few years. And I don't know if we have a lot of evidence that artificial intelligence is specifically reducing the amount of hiring that companies are doing, but we do know that workers are very anxious about this. So we actually just put out some data that shows that Gen Z is quite anxious. About 7 in 10 workers report being anxious about their long-term career prospects because of AI, and that's no different for some of their older peers as well.
Do you think AI is making that entry-level job obsolete at this point? And you were just talking about Gen Z workers. Is the entry-level job most at risk here?
I wouldn't say that entry-level jobs are obsolete. There's always going to be work that needs to be done by entry-level workers, but entry-level workers have less to fall back on, right? They don't have a resume or a network built up that they can rely on if there is disruption to the industry that they're looking to get into. So it's not a surprise that entry-level workers feel like their jobs are most at risk from AI.
Yep, that's true. And, you know, if you have some spare money, like I always say, guys, pay down your debt. Don't get into debt. That's the key thing. Pay down your debt. Don't get overextended. Pay down your debt. Put some money aside for emergency funds. I don't care if it's $5 a week, $10 a week, $20 a week. Put it back in a special fund, hopefully one that gets interest, okay? Buy some long-term food, canned goods, freeze-dried. MREs, I don't care. MREs are expensive. I really wouldn't invest in those. They're long-term, but I wouldn't spend a lot of stuff, a lot of money on that. But canned goods and be able to preserve water, purify water, store water, because you need 3 gallons per person per day in an emergency. So you want to have that. Make sure that you have a good first aid kit. Make sure that you have your medications. Make sure you have blue tarps in case you get a hole in the roof or you need a tent. They're great to have, and they're cheap. Home Depot, Lowe's, even Walmart, okay? You can get them there. But those things, and once you've got the basics done and everything paid down, then go ahead and invest in precious metals. Why? Because it's a hedge against calamity. And, you know, I can take a look at the current prices for you here real quick before we go. Because, you know, you don't have to do it, but it's great to have it. I always look at APMEX, and I'm not really pushing them because you can go to silver.com and a whole bunch of other places. But if you take a look at what they have, right now gold is up $40.60. What does that tell you? Gold is now $3,601.90. Silver is at $41.27. It went up 32 cents. That's poor man's gold. I mean, if I had the money, yeah, I'd buy silver because I know gold, I couldn't afford it. And if I could afford it, I would only get it in 10th of an ounce, which would be about $360, $380 for a 10th of an ounce coin. And you could use that to barter with. Platinum is $1,391.10. It's up $6.60. Palladium, that's from Russia and it's used in manufacturing. And so, you know, it doesn't count to save that or to purchase that and save it. So, you know, if you have the money and you want to do it, then you can buy land, property, or you could use precious metals. Right now, would I invest it in the stock market? I don't know. I really don't know. I can't really say I would. And if you do, probably mutual funds would probably be your best bet. But anyhow, guys, that's all I've got for this week. Stop back on Wednesday, and guess what? You'll see my world right here on the Trim Radio Network, and we'll talk about a bunch of stuff, and we will have some fun, okay? With that, that's all I've got. Everybody have a good week. I'll see you Wednesday on my world at 8 p.m. See you.